ago. But it's good to be in camp meeting this morning. I count it a privilege and an honor. Certainly do not deserve to be here, and I appreciate the wonderful preaching that's been done thus far, and I look forward to the great preaching that'll be done afterwards. And it's just good to be in camp meeting. Appreciate the good singing. Appreciate the opportunity to be able to stand. Most certainly do not deserve that. I was sitting over there and I felt a little hand touch my shoulder, and it was my son. He said, "Dada, I prayed for you." And that helped me. And that was before he demanded to give him the microphone. And as nervous as I am, I about passed it on. But I'm grateful to be here this morning. But here in Paul's letter to the Corinthian church, here in chapter number 15, in this letter, Paul, he deals with a lot of issues going on in the Corinthian church. He deals with moral issues that you can read about, but he also deals with doctrinal issues this morning. And here in this chapter, he's dealing with the fact that they do not believe in a literal resurrection of the saints. They do not believe in that. And Paul is taking the scriptures and pointing them to that and proving his point that one day there is going to be a literal resurrection of the saints that are dead in Christ. And whenever you read this chapter, there's four verses that carry the same word, and this word is mentioned four times in this chapter. And just want to give you a simple message this morning. When I read these verses, you'll easily pick out the word that I'm talking about. Paul says in verse number 8, "And last of all, he was seen of me also as one born out of due time." If you read in verse number 26, the Bible says, "The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death." Then you flip on over to verse number 45. Paul says, "And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit." And then at the end of the chapter in verse number 52, Paul says, "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." And just for a few moments, I want to look at these last things that Paul deals with here in the 15th chapter of the letter to the Corinthians. Paul says that he was last of all seen of him. He was last of all seen of me also. We see the last apostle. We see the last witness. Paul was the last man to see the resurrected Lord with his visible eye. You go to the book of Acts there in chapter number 9, and the Lord appeared unto Paul there on the Damascus road. He showed himself unto him. But when that he uses that phrase, "he was seen also of me," it does not give the idea that Paul just happened by coincidence to catch a glimpse of the Lord. It wasn't that the Lord wasn't paying attention and Paul just so by chance caught an eye of him, but no, it was this phrase is used that he was allowed to be seen. Matter of fact, he was shown on purpose. And when you look at the life of the Apostle Paul, the Lord appeared unto Paul on purpose, and it was for a purpose. For there were some things that happened there in Paul's life when he appeared unto him. Understand, this was when Paul was converted. This was when Paul was taken from being an enemy of Christ and being placed into the family of God. Paul was saved glorious by the grace of God. And I'm thankful that I can testify this morning. I'm glad that he appeared unto me. He did not appear through sight, but he did appear through the Spirit of God. When he shone the light on me, and I saw my need of a Savior and got converted by the good grace of God. But not only was Paul converted there at this appearance, but Paul was changed as well. It was the very man Paul himself that said that if he any man be in Christ, he is now a new creature, and old things are passed away. He was changed, but not only was he converted and changed this morning, but this was a confirmation for Paul. You notice in many of his letters, there'll be times that Paul will reference back to this Damascus Road appearance when the Lord showed himself unto him. What he is doing here, this qualifies him to be an apostle. This is what placed him into that apostleship, which was under attack by many different Judaizers, many different Pharisees. They did not accept Paul's preaching. They didn't accept Paul's message. But you may tell you what Paul could do. He could go way back yonder to where he had a saving and a calling. And I'm glad it can confirm some things, regardless of what the winds may blow or what people may say. I'm glad that can make a confirmation in your life. I'm glad, regardless of question nor criticism, there was nothing that could be done there to take away what happened to Paul on the Damascus Road. But then you look in verse number 26, the Bible says, Paul said, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. Understand, go back to the very purpose of what Paul is writing. The Corinthians did not believe in a bodily resurrection of the saints, and he is making his point here. Paul's saying, if there is no resurrection, he's saying this life of suffering, this life of toil and sorrow has no cause and has no purpose. Paul's saying, if in this life only we have hope, we are men most miserable. But the fact that one day, after a while, the dead in Christ are going to rise again makes this present toil and sorrow worth bearing for you and I this morning. Understand, I understand death was defeated at Calvary and an empty tomb. It was defeated. I'm glad that you and I are not going to be defeated by death, but you and I can be victors over death because of what Christ done at Calvary. But understand, death still does have an influence. Death has not yet been destroyed. I like what John Phillips said there whenever he viewed death as being defeated. He said that he went in to a German prison camp after World War I or World War II, I believe it was, and he said he was completely outnumbered. They were all in there. It was just him, and he went in there witnessing. And one man said, was you not afraid to do that? Was you not scared to go in there with all those that were your enemy? And he said, absolutely not, because they were all already defeated and completely unarmed and could not harm me. And that's the way it is for the child of God with death. But death still does have an influence this morning. If you don't believe me, you'll probably drive by a graveyard on your way home, or you may live near one. Understand, death still does have an influence, and unless the Lord comes back, you and I are going to see that influence that death has. It is appointed unto man once to die. It's something that you and I cannot escape this morning. But what Paul is talking about this morning is a time when death is going to lose its hold, and when it's going to lose its grip on these bodies that we had, a time when it's going to have to be let go. And you read on just a little further, Paul's going to tell what it's all about. The Bible says there, later in this chapter, it says that it'll be sown in corruption and raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. You look at those words. That word corruption there means perishable. That word dishonor means shameful. That word weakness means frailty. And you say, well, what is Paul talking about? Paul is saying that the way these bodies go down will not be the way that they come up. He said they're going to come up in a whole different manner. And friend, you may have followed somebody to a graveyard broken down and beaten by the cares of this life, and it's sin. But Paul says that one day when they rise, there'll be some things that'll stay planted this morning. Thank God they're not going to come out the same way. This morning, I don't know about you, but I just turned 31 years old, and I can go ahead and see the effects that things have on my body. But I'm glad one day I'm going to have a new body and a resurrected body that will not perish or be corruptible. And I'm quickly moving on, and we'll be done. But Paul says there in verse number 45, he says, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening soul. spirit this morning. That by when Paul says there, he's going back to the Garden of Eden, referring to the first Adam. And you know how that transpired. God made man out of the dust of the earth. And at the end of that, he breathed life into the nostrils of Adam. That word there, living soul, gives the idea of one that receives life, one that takes life. And God gave life unto Adam there in the Garden of Eden. But you may tell you, when it says that the last Adam was a quickening spirit, it doesn't refer to one that receives life, but it refers to one that gives life and gives life to those that come to him this morning. I'm glad that there was a day when I was dead in my sins and in my trespasses, but the good Holy Ghost quickened me and brought life into my life this morning. He says that he was made a quickening spirit. And lastly, this morning, and we'll be done, the Bible says in verse number 52, it says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. Paul says that in 1 Thessalonians, but it says in verse 52, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed this morning. This is describing the time when Paul says in 1 Thessalonians, when the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be called up together to meet them in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And understand that trumpet that's going to sound one day, that last trumpet, it is not just for the dead, but it is for the living. Paul says, and we all shall be changed, incorruptible, meaning unperishable. And I couldn't help but go back to see the very first time that this word trumpet or trump was used in the Bible. You go back to the book of Exodus there when God is getting ready to give the law on Mount Sinai, and God told Moses to set boundaries around the mountain, and he said there was no man or beast that could go past them boundaries. If they did, they would surely be stoned through. They shall die. But this is what the Bible says. It said there shall not a hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through. Whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. But when the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mound. You say, what does that mean this morning? There, the very first time that this word was used, when that trumpet sound there at Mount Sinai, the people of God got to move up to higher ground. And the last time that the trumpet is going to sound, you and I are going to rise to higher ground. This robe of flesh will drop and rise, and to ever meet him in the sky this morning. Glad one day, that's a hope that we have. I'm glad we'll hear that trumpet sound, whether we're in the grave or whether we're alive. Thank God we will hear the trumpet sound. But you look at how that trumpet was used. I'm gonna wrap it up. You look in the Bible, a lot of times when you read about the first trumpet, it gathered the people for battle. It gathered them for war. But when you see the last trumpet, the weapons all laid down and the battle was over and it ceased. It signified there a feast day, a starting of the feast day as well there in the Jubilee. But not only did it signify that, but it signified they would blow a trumpet when they would crown a king. You read about when Solomon was crowned, the way they signified that was that the trumpet blew. And then you look also, it united people, brought people together. But the most significant way it was used, you read about it in Leviticus 25, it signified the start of the Jubilee. And I read about what the Jubilee was, what it meant. If you were a slave in the Jubilee time, whenever that trumpet blew, you were now a free man. If you was a person that had been away from your family, away from your loved ones, when that trumpet blew, you was able to gather back with them again. It was a time that when that trumpet blew, you rested from your labors, all the toils and labors you had. You ceased from that day. And it was a time when things were restored and given back, things that you had lost in this life. But the most significant way it was used is in that jubilee. It signified a time that was going to be for rejoicing the Lord. And I'm glad one day after a while I'll hear a trumpet and thank God I'm going to be set free from the bondages of this world. Thank God I'll be able to gather with loved ones gone before me. I'll be able to lay my burdens down and to gather at Him. And as they sang about it just a little while ago, we'll praise the name of the Lord forever and ever while the ages shall roll this morning. I don't know about you, but I'm listening for that trumpet. Thank you, preacher.